Turn your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter number 2. 1 Timothy chapter number 2. We'll look at three verses tonight. I'll begin at verse number 1 if you'll join me on the second verse, and then I'll skip down to verse number 8. But we'll look at three verses of 1 Timothy chapter number 2. Now stand with me for the reading of God's Word here in 1 Timothy 2. If you'll join me on verse number 2. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And then down to verse number 8. I will, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Father, again we come now, and Lord, we're just asking that you please have your will and way in the service. Father, I pray that you please break up our hard hearts into fertile soil that your word may be able to penetrate and your word may be able to plant deep in our hearts, Lord, the truths and, Lord, what we need to do for you. Lord, I pray that you please be with our preacher as he preaches. Fill him with your power. Be with the special music. Prepare our hearts with that. Lord, speak to us tonight. In your name we pray. Amen. Please be seated.
Sometimes I live my life just as you planned. Other times I struggle to obey your commands. Choices I make each day, determine if I'll obey and follow you.
Good music tonight for our hearts. Good stuff. Thank you, young people. All right, I want to speak tonight on this subject, filling God's hand in prayer. Consecration. Filling God's hand. Putting ourselves at His disposal. Doing His will. And talking this month, the month of January, about the matter of prayer. Let's pray together tonight. And Father, we do pray that You'll help us as the song, as we heard the song just now, the exhortation in it to keep our minds focused on You. I thought about Colossians 3, set your affection on things above. Help us to do that, God, please, throughout this week. Help us not to be so earthly minded that we're no heavenly good. I pray, God, that You'd please help us tonight to be instructed in this sermon and helped by it, motivated. Lord, may Your Spirit do a good work in us. Help me, I pray, in Jesus' name. And amen. May 24th, 1980 was a 23rd, 1980 was a Friday night. And that was the night that my wife and I graduated from Bible college. I never saw my wife smile as big as she did the night that she got her diploma. She smiled bigger that night than the night we got married. Amen. So the day we got married. So she had a great big smile. Somebody caught a, what do you call those shots that are just a candid shot. Just caught a candid shot and gave us a picture and this humongous smile on her face and lit up the room. But anyway, that was a Friday night. Saturday morning was May 24th. We loaded up our apartment into her dad's truck, Wendell Wilson's truck, and our car. Three vehicles. No U-Haul trailer, no nothing. We were just Bible college students. We didn't have a whole lot of stuff. Went in her dad's pickup, Wendell's pickup, and our vehicle. We made our way out to Iowa. And we got moved that afternoon into a small apartment. That was a Saturday across the street from the church there in Washington. Sunday, May 25th was my first day as assistant pastor at Marion Avenue Baptist Church. And if I remember right, I taught a Sunday school class that morning that met in Pastor Brown's office, about 8, 9, or 10 adults. And then that evening I was ordained to the gospel ministry. Joe Combs, who's now in heaven, and Johnny Pope preached my ordination service May 26th, Monday. I began my time of service for Pastor Brown. I knew before I went there that I was going to be a bus director. I was going to be a youth director. I was going to be the junior church preacher. And found out when I got there that I was going to be the adult Sunday school teacher. And after a few years, I was told I was now going to be the choir director and the song leader. And I taught church ed at the college over there in Crown Point this week. And I told him about my regrets as that arguing with Brother Brown about asking me to direct the choir. He wanted me to lead the choir, and if I remember correctly, and I may not, but I think it was the only thing I really argued with him about doing in the 10 years I was there. It wasn't that I wanted to be disobedient. I felt horribly incapable of leading. I still don't know to this day. I know something about every fat cow eats green grass or something like that, you know. I know that. It does something as it goes. Matt, you're shaking your head. Like you ought to know. Your wife's a musician plus, so you don't know either. Okay, well, we're in the same. Well, how would you like to lead the choir next Sunday? Amen. So that's what I'm saying. It was kind of like, what? And so, lead the choir. Oh, my goodness. And I was there to do his... What I regret is I was there as an assistant pastor. I was there to do his bidding. I was there to fulfill his wishes. I was there to be at his disposal. I wasn't there to build a ministry for Terry Angel. I was there to aid Brother Brown as he built the ministry for the glory of God. And he told me what he wanted me to do, and I argued with him. And I wasn't ugly. I just, pastor, I can't do it, you know, and I ended up leading the choir. Because he had his way. He got his way, and I ended up leading the choir. And then I came here and led it for 22 years. I can't believe I did that, but anyway. But I regret that I argued with him and fussed with him about that because I was there as his assistant to fulfill his wishes, to do his will. Now, if you missed the first Sunday of this year, which was January 1, was the opening Sunday of this year, we talked about the matter of consecration and the restoration of consecration and how the word consecration means to fill God's hand, to be at His disposal, to fulfill His will, to do His wishes, and restoring ourselves to that place of consecration. And talked about how that, you know, if you examine last year and you find it to be a year when you slipped a little bit, if you don't do something to stop the slipping, it will continue. The slipping, 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 and pretty soon it may be so far it'd be very difficult to get back. So the thing to do is to stop it with a restoration of consecration. a revival of filling His hand, a restoring of ourselves to be at His disposal to do His will. And this month, the month of January, the emphasis is on the matter of prayer. I have enjoyed our prayer calendar. I've enjoyed that. I have used it every day. One day I got mixed up and I forgot to turn it. You know how you flip it back and forth? And I forgot to turn it back, so I actually was ahead and I had to go back and make it up. But I have used it every day. It has been a blessing to me to pray for our missionaries, to pray for our Sunday school classes, to pray for the ministries, to pray for the character trait that's in bold ink at the top of the day. I have done that every day faithfully. And I hope that you, if you haven't, I hope that you'll join in. It's not too late to start. You got the calendar. Make it a part of your devotional time or on your drive to work. Our emphasis is to fill the hand of God, and especially in the month of January when it comes to the matter of prayer, putting ourselves at His disposal. So I want to talk tonight specifically about filling the hand of God in prayer. Now, 1 Timothy is written to a pastor. You know that, okay? So Timothy was a young pastor at the church in Ephesus, which was a good church. Folks, you read about it in Revelation chapter 2. It's a good church. Had a lot of good qualities, and Timothy was the young pastor there. Now, much of what is written is, of course, directed to pastors. But again, although not all the Bible is to us, it is all for us, okay? There are principles that anybody can learn from 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus. Now, I want you to notice verse number 1. Paul is writing. Paul says, I exhort therefore. Now, Paul is speaking here, but folks, he is really speaking for God. And we have to take it that way. To disregard Paul's words as the mere words of a man would be to make a big mistake. Now, I was talking in a Sunday school teacher's meeting because the lesson next Sunday is on the subject of inspiration. Inspiration is the process through which God gave us His Word. And you can't take the human element out of the Bible. Man spoke the words, man wrote the words, but the source was God Almighty. Okay? So when you read, I exhort therefore, it's yes, Paul is exhorting Timothy, but it goes far beyond that. God is speaking to all of us. God is speaking to our hearts. And we need to take it as the Word of God. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, Paul said this to the Thessalonican church, when ye receive the Word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth the Word of God. A human had to preach it. A human had to talk it. A human had to write it. But wise people don't take it as the word of men. Wise people take it as the word of God. That's what Paul said. And then which he went on to say, which effectively worketh in them that believe. In other words, friend, if you want the word of God to work in your heart, you're going to have to take it as it is in truth, the word of God. So that's what Paul said here. Now, it's not just Paul saying to Timothy. God is saying to Timothy. God is saying to Terry Angel. God is saying to Mike Breck and Mick Hall. God is saying to all of us in this room, God is saying to you in this room that He wants us, look at it here, first of all, I exhort therefore that first of all, and then He goes into supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Supplications, prayers, intercession, giving thanks, all of those fit under the umbrella of the great big banner of prayer. We've said this before. I'm not going into this in detail tonight. Supplication is entreaty. It's humble and earnest prayer. It is earnest request. It's strong desire. That's what supplication is. Okay? And you'll find examples of that. I believe supplication is in 1 Samuel chapter 1 where you find Hannah pleading with God because her womb was barren. And Eli thought she was drunk because her mouth moved. But there were no words coming from her lips. She was supplicating. If you go to 1 Kings chapter 8, we're not going there, but if you go to 1 Kings chapter 8, that's the place in the Bible where the word supplication is found the most. It is used in that chapter, and Solomon's talking about when God's people enter into supplication, all the things that happen. It's that strong desire. It's that crying out to God. It's a humble and earnest time of prayer. And then he uses the word prayers. That just basically means the act of asking for a favor. Sometimes I'll preach a message. I preached it this past week. out of Matthew chapter 7 on the simplicity of prayer, where Jesus taught us how to go to God for things that we need. It's not wrong to ask God for things that we need. Okay? And I'm saying that message. Don't be mistaken. Don't make the mistake of thinking that He's not interested in the common things of life. He gives that parable. If a son asks his father for a piece of bread, if a son asks his father for a fish, folks, you can't get more common in Bible times than bread and fish. He was asking for a fish sandwich off the value meal at McDonald's. It was that simple. But the Lord is interested in the simple needs that we have. So prayer is asking for a favor. Intercession is to go between. It's to act between parties, to pass between two parties. Intercession is praying on behalf of someone else, praying for someone who needs to be saved, praying for someone who needs to get right with God, praying favors for other people. Intercession is me praying for Brother Mick. Intercession is me praying for Brother Luke. Intercession is me praying for you, and you praying for me, and us praying for each other. That is intercession. And then giving of thanks. I have to explain that. Everyone knows and understands the matter of thanksgiving. And our prayer ought to always end with a time of thanksgiving. Thankful to God for the privilege of talking to Him. Thank God we have access to Him through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I won't get this story exactly right, but this is somewhere within the parameters. I believe was Abraham Lincoln's son, was it named Tad? I believe his name was Tad. There was a Union or a Confederate soldier that wanted to speak to President Lincoln and went to the White House where it was there, and there was the gate, of course, you know, and he said, I'd like to talk to the President. Do you have an appointment? No, I don't have an appointment. And it was obvious that he had been a soldier, you know, in the Army and was a needful man. And anyway, I really would need to talk to him. And said, no, and you have to have an appointment. And Tad Lincoln happened up on the conversation, and Tad Lincoln said, open the gate. And, of course, they opened the gate, and he told the soldier, come with me. And took him all into the White House, went to the room or the place where his dad was, knocked on the door. President Lincoln said, come in, and Tad Lincoln walked right in with that soldier. That soldier got access to the President through his son. Thank God. Amen. We have access to the Creator of the universe through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's enough to be thankful for right there, folks, just thanking God. So, supplications, prayer, intercession, giving of thanks, all of this falls under the big banner of prayer. And God says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, some of the priority should be given to the matter of prayer. Priority. First of all, I remember years ago at a pastor school, Dr. Hiles wrote down, he had the pastors that were there in the service take a piece of paper. He said, I want you to jot down between 1 and 10, and I want you to list the priority of things in the ministry in their importance. Ministerial responsibilities. And he had it all turned in. And I forget the exact statistics, but the thing that appeared at number 1 on the top of the sheet was prayer. Before he had him turn the list in, he said, now turn the paper over, and on the other side, I want you to write in order the amount of time you give to each of those 10 things on the other side. You know what's at the bottom of the list? Prayer. So the most important thing to pastors was the matter of prayer, but the thing they gave the least time to was prayer. And God says, I exhort therefore that, first of all, priority be given to this matter of prayer. And Paul said that kind of praying should be done for all men. Supplication and prayers and intercessions and thanksgiving is something that God wants us to do for all men, for others. Now, if we put ourselves at God's disposal, if we consecrate ourselves, if we fill His hand, if we are there to do His will, then we have to make prayer a priority. We have to make prayer a priority. You drop down to verse number 8. Notice again what he says here. Verse number 8, I will, therefore. What does God say? I want you. Are you looking at it? I will, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. I could explain that whole verse, but for sake of time, the point I'm making tonight is to see the words, I will. What does God want? God, what do you want, Pastor, what do you want me to do? I want you to lead the choir. Oh, but I don't. God, what do you want me to do? I want you to pray. I want you, first of all, to pray. I want you to give some priority to prayer. I want you to pray, all men to pray everywhere. That's what I want. So if we are putting ourselves at God's disposal, if we are consecrating ourselves today, if we're putting ourselves into His control, fulfilling His will, we are at His disposal, we'll have to make this matter of prayer a priority. You know, you notice I didn't ask how many of you are following the prayer calendar. I didn't want to be discouraged. Because, you know, you do things, promote things, put things together. But, folks, we can only put them in your hand. What you do with it's up to you. This matter of consecrating ourselves in the matter of prayer. Brother Luke brought a good devotion yesterday morning at the bus meeting. And he used the verse over in Job chapter 16, verse number 21. Listen to it. We won't turn to it. All that one might plead for a man with God, as a man pleadeth for his neighbor. Oh, that a man might plead for a man with God as a man pleadeth for his neighbor. Job had those three friends. You remember all the troubles came. And he had these three friends and they came and they were no comfort to him. One of the funniest things that's ever said in the Bible. Job said, surely wisdom will die with you. When you die, wisdom is going to die. Hilarious. Hilarious. And he even called them, miserable comforters are you all. They came to comfort him. And Job said that he talks about a man pleading for his neighbor. In that day, a man had a civil case to be heard before a magistrate. And he was innocent and he wanted somebody to plead his case. So he ran to his neighbor or he ran to his friend. And he said, hey friend, would you come with me and would you plead my case for me in front of the magistrate? And friends and relatives would come and stand before the magistrate and plead for their friend and say, hey look, he's innocent. No, he didn't do this. And this is how it really happened. And I'm here to plead his case. And Job said, I wish I had someone to plead for me with God. Like men have neighbors and friends who plead before the magistrates. You know what Brother Luke said yesterday was so good. He said what Job was saying was, I wish I had somebody in my corner. I wish I had somebody in my corner. Oh, that I had a man who would plead with God like a neighbor pleads for his friend. Everybody needs somebody in their corner. I mentioned this morning how appreciative I was of the text and the phone calls and the handshakes before, as we finished that Wednesday night prior to a week ago Wednesday, and people said, I'm praying for you. People said this morning, we prayed for you all week, thought about it. And, you know, folks, I believe with all of my heart that God answered your prayer. God helped me. There's no doubt in my mind about that. It was physically tiring, but there was spiritual energy. It was a blessing Sunday morning. I didn't know this. Sunday morning, I gave the invitation. There was a man up in the balcony. He raised his hand. And I said, sir, and there's another fellow over here. And they both came. And this man up here, his name was Drew. And he told me this on Tuesday night. He said, it might have been Wednesday night. He said, I have lived in Hammond all my life. Never been to First Baptist Church. Never been here. He said, last Sunday morning I came. And you preached. And he got saved Sunday morning. He got saved. He got baptized Sunday night. He never missed a single night of the revival. Came Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. His name was Drew. God helped me. And it was a busy week. And we had Razor's Edge here. Monday night had to drive up in ice. I don't know if any of you were out and about Monday night. 57 was a sheet of ice. 10 miles an hour. Cars in the ditch everywhere. It was horrible driving. And Tuesday night was wind. And Wednesday night was rain and fog. It's crazy. And lightning. Did you see that? It was incredible. I thought, what is it, January? This was happening. And then back and forth into the college, into grade school. And then Providence started on Thursday. And I had already agreed ahead of time to preach the Fort Wayne tournament service. And I had to go there Thursday night. And I was very concerned about that because what are you going to preach to a bunch of teenagers? Half of them have heard me at camp and conference. What sermon have they haven't heard? And God put a sermon on my heart on the way out there. And that came as a result of people praying. I had a friend. I had a man pleading with God for me. I had somebody in my corner. And that's what I'm talking about tonight. Everybody needs somebody like that. Everybody needs somebody in their corner. Husband, your wife is sitting maybe to your right or to your left tonight. Maybe she's at home. You pray for your wife. Does your wife have a husband who is in her corner and pleads for God, pleads for her with God? Do you pray for her? You pray for her physically. You pray for her spiritually. You pray for her emotional well-being. You pray for your wife. Every wife needs a husband who will hold her up in prayer. Every wife. Every wife. Now, that lady's accomplished so much. It's incredible. I marvel sometimes. They're just unbelievable wonders. I'm not just saying that tonight. Kids and food and meals and homes and clothes, and it's just like, oh boy. And they're sometimes not as physically strong as men. Do you pray for them? Do you pray for them emotionally? Sometimes they're not as strong emotionally as men. Their bodies go through hormonal changes that men never have to face. Do you pray for your wife? Every wife needs a husband that will hold her up in prayer. And vice versa, wives, got your husband sitting to your left or to your right, or maybe in some other part of the auditorium, or maybe out and back, keeping us all watching out here tonight. You pray for your husband. You pray for him. Pray for him at work. A lot of these guys, they go and they listen to men use foul language all day long. Filthy language. A lot of these men, they go and there are women who are just on the prowl out there, hunting for the precious life. Do you pray for your husband? Do you pray for his safety? Do you pray for his success at work? Do you spend more time complaining about his work than praying for him to be successful in his work? Every husband needs a wife that will hold her husband up in prayer. Lift him up in prayer. Ask God to bless him. And kids need parents who will fill the hand of God for them. Kids need parents who, when it comes time to pray, will put themselves at God's disposal and pray for their children and pray for their kids' salvation. In some cases, pray for their children's restoration spiritually. In some cases, pray for their physical well-being and their health and help them, God, to get the lessons at school. And folks, I understand life. I understand life, okay? I'm not talking here about a make-believe, fantasy-type life. I understand demands, time limits, windows of opportunity. But, you know, there's got to be that time when a parent holds their children up, and every child needs a parent who will plead with God for them. Every child. And then the grandparents. Now, I don't pray for everybody in this church every day by name. In the course of a week or two, I pray for you by name. But I pray for that family every day. Don't miss a day. And the ones married to the kids. And now the grandkids. And everyone, and God, everyone, name, every grandchild needs a grandpa, needs a grandma who will stand before God and hold them up and pray and call their names out in prayer. Just feel God's hand. This is what God is. Okay, Lord, I'm going to, you know, it's easy to say, folks, I'm going to consecrate myself. But it means to feel God's hand to do His will. It's what God wants. I exhort you. I want you to pray. Put a priority on it. Feel God's hand. Hey, kids. Every parent needs a kid who knows how to pray to hold their dad and mom up before God. Maybe if you spent more time talking to God about your dad and mom and asking God to bless them and take care of them and be with them rather than complaining about them, things might change. Things might be good. Every parent needs a kid to hold them up in prayer. And even those of us with elderly parents, that we're adults ourselves and grandparents ourselves, and I pray for Joyce's dad every day in Maryland. And I pray for my dad, bless his heart, every day. And I pray for mom. Give mom help, Lord, please. Give her grace. She needs it. Every parent needs a kid who will take his mom, take his dad, and hold them up in prayer to the Lord and plead with them. People need friends who will pray for each other. And kids need Sunday school teachers who will pray for them. And teachers need students who will pray for them. And maybe instead of saying, my teacher just is boring, have you thought about maybe during the week, Lord, bless my teacher this week as they study? We should be spend more time complaining in this direction than we do asking for help this direction. Yeah. On and on I could go. Who's on the Lord's side? And those Levites gather around and say, we are Moses. He says, consecrate yourselves today. Feel God's hand. Put yourself at His disposal. And you know, strap your sword on and go through and take care of the rebels and do God's bidding. Thank God we consecrate ourselves. We don't have to do that. We don't have to take a sword and kill people. But if we consecrate ourselves, we're going to do His will when it comes to prayer. God says, I want you to put a priority on it. I want you to make it a matter of priority, and I want you to pray. It's what God wants. In Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse number 30, God said this about the nation of Israel. He said, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. Did you hear the words there? I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Now, I want to spend the last few minutes in the message talking about how to do this. How do you make it a priority? First of all, number one, time. People, I still maintain that most of what we don't do, that we should do, is because we do not live by schedule when it comes to those areas of life. I'll say it again. Most of what we don't do that we should do is because we do not live by schedule when it comes to those areas of life. We have a schedule for everything in life that's important to us. Yep. Eating's important. Every time. Going to work's important. Going to church is important. I agree. Amen. The time to do it. Comes to prayer, yeah, when I get around, that's the problem. We won't get around to it. So I got to have a time. And I'm not saying tonight that you need to set 6 hours every day. I'm not saying that. I'm saying, folks, look, you know, 6 hours, it'd be a wonderful thing. You want to see God do something? If that's just the number of folks in this room spent 6 minutes every day for the next 7 days, the next month, praying faithfully, we see God do something. 6 minutes. I'm not talking about 6 hours. I'm talking about 6 minutes. David said in Psalm 55:17, evening and morning at noon will I pray. And we have so many things to help us today, and alarms and alerts on our phones and something that says stop. And if you can't stop physically, at least you can stop mentally and put your mind on something. And as the teenager sang a moment ago, focus. And of course, you know, any time is good when you can say a quick prayer. But without a set time, we just usually don't get it done. We usually don't get it done. So time. Number two would be place. Number two, I'm a firm believer in this. In Genesis 18 and 19, you get the story of Abraham interceding before God for Lot. God's going to destroy Sodom. And after it happens and the angels go down there and they drag Lot and Mrs. Lot and the two girls out, chapter 9, the thing that God rains fire and brimstone, the Bible says the smoke went up like a furnace into the earth. And the Bible says into the heaven, and the Bible says in chapter 19, verse 27, and Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. So there was a place. Now, I don't know. Maybe it was just the place where he stood before God and pled for Lot. Maybe it was a place where he stood every morning. But I know what the Scripture says there, that the Bible says Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. So here's Abraham going to stand before God. You know what, folks? You can make a sacred altar in a lot of different places. You just do it. If you just do it, you can make an altar. And thankfully, we can approach God anytime, from any place. I mentioned John this morning, and Tuesday I was here, and I was getting ready to go speak at Razor's Edge at the 11 o'clock hour. And Brother Bick put on a great conference, and we really had a good time. Brother Scott Hanks did such a good job, and it was just a blessing. Lots of fellows came and their wives, and I really think this is something that's going to grow, and people are talking about it. It's just a time of help and instruction and teaching, and I was speaking on counseling teenagers through difficult times in life. And right before I was to go up, John McAdoo called. And John's a talker. John can talk to you. But honestly, I really thought he was going to cry on the phone. I really did. In fact, he might have been. His voice was all choked up. And he said, can you pray? He has this back trouble, and he's working with VA providers and non-VA providers, and needed an MRI. And they were just back and forth and back and forth. He said, if you want for him to get up, it's just like there's something with the nerves and all down at the bottom of his spine there. And he's just in incredible pain. If you ever had nerve pain, you know what that can be like, back pain like that. And he just said, please, he said, I just pray that we can get this MRI. It's been crazy. And I said, okay, John, let's just do it right now. And I prayed, Lord, I said, Lord, please, God, you control all things. As the rivers of water, you turneth it whithersoever your will. And you can overcome the VA. You can overcome all of that. And Lord, would you please give John an appointment for his MRI? Please help him and help it to be soon. In Jesus' name, amen. And he said, thank you. I taught Razor's Edge, took Brother Hanks to lunch. I went home, got my stuff together, got ready to walk, put my tie on Tuesday afternoon, ready to walk out the door to go preach the evening service. And he called and said, Pastor, I won't keep you. I got an MRI scheduled for tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock. And this thing. Now you say, well, that's just a coincidence. You can call it what you want to call it, friend. I happen to believe we got a God in heaven who hears and answers prayer. Now, I'm no great example of a prayer warrior. I'm just telling you, look, if I can ask God to do, you can stand before God for somebody too. Everybody needs it. Everybody needs somebody in their corner. Everybody needs somebody in their corner. Got to have a time. Got to have a place where we go to God on behalf of somebody else. Number three. I'm done, but don't tune me out because this may be the biggest one. Time, place, desire. This is the biggest issue, the want to. The heart to get it done. The heart to set a time, the desire to pick a place. You know, folks, look. Come on, we gotta get up and get. You know, I'm gonna try to do this, but we've tried before, and then we've stopped, and then we hear a message, and then we get convicted, and then we feel ashamed, and we ask forgiveness, and we set out to try again, only to repeat the unending process, and finally just decide, you know what? This is just how the Christian life is. Nobody really ever prays. What we need to do is quit trying and have God change us. Have God change us. Just have God change us. What we need is change. God to change us so that we desire to be consecrated. We long to be in His hand, filling His hand, at His disposal, and especially in the area of prayer in the Christian life. Especially because He said, I exhort therefore that first of all, and I want therefore that men pray everywhere. This is what I want. What do you want me to do, Pastor Brown? I want you to lead the choir. But you know, that's what I want you to do. Okay. Lord, what do you want me to do? I want you to pray. I want you to pray. Not for 6 hours, unless you've got 6 hours and you can do it. I'm not saying don't pray for 6 hours. But you got 6 minutes? You got a minute here, and you got a couple minutes here later on, and then you got 2 or 3 minutes this hour, and just a constant going to God, and a constant going to God, and a constant going to God. Being back up here this week brought back a lot of memories for me and Joyce. She went with me on Sunday and Monday. And she went to Elgin to help Hannah a little bit. And I remembered, I told the boys about this, somebody about it. I mean, when I was in school, John Rice came every year. Spoke in chapel every day, taught church ed, 5 days. We heard John Rice preach, teach. And he had a famous sermon called The Sin of Prayerlessness. Sin of Prayerlessness. He'd look over his glasses and he never raised his voice. Real high and kind of talk along and, oh, you boys are going to go out and save America and build churches and you hadn't prayed in 3 or 4 days. Oh, God help you. God have mercy. You just feel like going. In his book, Prayer, Asking and Receiving, John Rice said this, prayerlessness shows a lack of real enjoyment of prayer. And he went on to say, we should honestly face the fact that most of us do not really enjoy prayer, or we would pray more. We enjoy eating, have no trouble eating. We enjoy doing this or that, we have no trouble doing it. And they said he was the sweetest man that ever slit anybody's throat. And when he would say stuff like that, and that's, by the way, that's from the message, The Sin of Prayerlessness. And it listed all the reasons. Now, this is why we don't pray in the first one on the list. Prayer. What does prayerlessness show? Prayerlessness shows a lack of real enjoyment. We usually set a time and a place for what we enjoy doing. We need to get to the place where we enjoy filling God's hand in the matter of prayer. Now you got another church member with cancer. She needs somebody in her corner. Somebody, Trish had somebody in her corner. Still does, I believe that. And I'm not chiding you tonight. I'm not chiding. I'm not a bunch of non-prayers. I'm trying to encourage all of us. They're going to fill His hand in this matter of prayer. We need to make it a priority. And I'm not talking about you becoming some kind of monk, some kind of weirdo. I'm just talking about having a time where you talk to God and you enjoy. You enjoy filling His hand. Lord, this is what You want me to do. So I'm going to do it. Change me so I can enjoy it. I don't want it to be just a duty. I don't want it to be just a responsibility. I want it to be something I enjoy doing. If I was to neglect eating, I'd be not fulfilling my responsibilities physically. And we eat because we enjoy eating. So God, I don't want to just do it out of duty and out of responsibility. I want to enjoy it. And I want to enjoy being in somebody's corner. I want to enjoy being in somebody's corner and holding them up, asking for You. Oh, that a man would plead with God. Plead for a man with God. So I'm talking about tonight, filling the hand of God when it comes to prayer, time, place, and desire. Maybe we just need to begin with God. Change us. Put a hunger in our heart to enjoy this matter of filling Your hand. Let's pray together tonight. Thank You for listening. Father in heaven, would You help us tonight? I have one finger pointing to congregation and four pointing to me. God, I want to fill Your hand. I want to be at Your disposal. I don't want to go through life, oh God, chafing at the things You want us to do. I want to enjoy doing it. Oh, to continue to work on me, please. I put myself at Your disposal. Fill Your hand this matter and speak to our hearts tonight as a church. Speak to our husbands, Lord, please. Every wife needs a husband who's pleading for God, with God for her. Speak to our wives. Every husband needs a praying wife. A loving wife is wonderful, a cooking wife and a cleaning wife, but Lord, a praying wife is so necessary. So forth and so on. Put a desire in our hearts tonight, please. As only You can, speak to us. May Your tender, small voice come our way and really prick our hearts about this matter. Help us, I pray. I'm going to ask the ladies, maybe you already found it, Sweet Hour of Prayer. Find that song in Invitation Time tonight, Sweet Hour of Prayer. And the songwriter could rightly have said, sweet minutes of prayer. It's a wonderful thing. It's a happy time. And God changes us a little bit. That's what we ought to pray tonight. Let's stand together, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Ladies, begin to play it. If you're not saved tonight, now's a good time to come. And let us show you how to be saved tonight. Oh, God,